And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 187. I am Silas Lindenstein, your host of Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Folks, this is episode number 187. It is part two of a two-parter. This is continuing with End of Us, a film that I just reviewed in the last episode. This is an interview with the directors and writers of that, Stephen Cantor and Henry Lovner. So, yeah, you can listen to the interview with Ben Coleman. That was episode number 186. And dropping two episodes in a week, technically three, because it was a busy week of coverage and interviews. But hey, I was telling you I was going to be bringing some interviews, and they're all just popping in at once because I'm trying to time these with the release. This movie, End of Us, it's a romantic comedy. It is now playing in digitally everywhere. It was in some select theaters earlier in the month, and now it is fully released everywhere, probably Amazon Prime, right? You're going to go there and watch it. So that's it. That's where you can get it. So this is the part two to get all the interviews that I did for it done. And I just didn't put them all in the same one. I don't know. I felt like I need to break it up, right? You don't need to hear that much interviewing about the same film in one episode. So, yeah. And so a big shout out to our Patreon supporters. If you too would like to help support the show, you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf and become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners. That is the badge you get for just $1 a month. It's not a real badge. It's like a virtual badge. I don't even draw anything. So it's more like a mind badge in your head. That's what it is. Or you can upgrade a little bit, just a few dollars more a month, and become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners, like Keith Nagel, Stefan Ward. Get your name said at the beginning of each episode until I have too many people to do that, because then it would be a ridiculous show of me just naming names. It would be like I'd have to change the name to the phone book, and nobody even knows what a phone book is now. My daughters don't know what that is. That sounds weird. Anyhow, please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating. It really helps us a lot, raising the rankings, and leave a comment. Leave a comment. 5 stars does great. Yeah, yeah. But if you also add in great podcast. Oh, love listening to Silas and Samantha when she's there. She'll be back. Don't worry. Add those in there and it'll be, it helps us. Helps us a lot. And also check out what I'm calling the sister podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. That's another podcast where I educate and empower home buyers all over the nation on the process of buying a home and help them wheel and deal and make smart decisions. And of course, if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, I'm a licensed real estate agent and can help you out. That's my day job. Like, my night job is this: interviews and reviews and interviews. You know, that's what I like to do. I got to put another one up. Did Emerald City Comic Con again, where I got to perform at the Real Nerds of Comedy show. And that was very exciting. It was my first time doing stand-up comedy again since February 2020. And it was exciting to get my feet wet again. I'm very spoiled. Not many people get to take that much time off and go back and get an audience of like 500 people that are just completely into your kind of comedy. So that was wonderful. And of course it got my brain and comedy mind churning again. So I'm probably going to be stepping out more, but I'm probably not going to be doing any open mics or shows that only have like 3 people in them. I can't handle those. I need a crowd or something to make it worth leaving my family and not seeing, not going and seeing a press screening of one of these films that I get to review. So, yeah. So that's my little bit of news. Okay. So that's the news, but this is the podcast. So right now I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 187, The End of Us, part two, with Stephen Cantor and Henry Lovner.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by, stand by, stand by, stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
Well, thank you for having us.
Oh, absolutely. It was a delightful film to watch. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Do you think this is the first COVID film? Like, I don't think I've seen a film where people actually have masks on and are acknowledging, other than that, like a trashy, like horror film that people have put out real fast. Right. Like the where we're struggling with the normalcy.
I mean, but certainly, I mean, as we've seen, you know, there've certainly been a number of new productions that have come out it's always interesting because it's like some of the recent films that have come out, it's like this decision of how to sort of portray modern times, you see a huge variety of like, some shows are actually completely demonstrating people in masks and sort of like people standing outside of restaurants. And then it's funny, I'm watching the new season of Curb Enthusiasm, and it's interesting like how in that it's like it's mostly people aren't wearing masks, but there's still acknowledgement of it. I mean, I think for us, I mean, we made this film right as the pandemic was pretty much starting. And part of really the entire impetus for the project was, you know, us trying to make something fast and to try to just capture authentically what we were experiencing at the time. Us, Claudia, our producer, and as well as our two main actors who we all kind of lived together for a couple of weeks to shoot. So yeah,
I had Ben on the other day to talk about this. Yeah. That was wild. The whole, I mean, you came up with your own self-quarantine, right? This idea of how to do. Now, what made the urgency? Like, what made you go like, you know what? I'm just going to go sit and ride this out, see how it all ends. Like, what made you it feels a little bold to me. Like, you're starting filming on this, not knowing how or if this is going to end, right? Like, cause something drastic could have happened like in October of that year or whatever, when I'm not sure, like 2 months after filming, something dramatic could have happened to shift. And it was such a real film. Was there any concern about that?
Yeah. I mean, as Steven said, we started production so early in the pandemic, there was still, there were many unknowns. And I think for that reason, we were trying to do our best to just capture our lifestyles, like in the moment. How were we responding to the crisis, and trying to focus in on how the situation was affecting this one couple, and not kind of getting too ahead of ourselves by, you know, predicting what the future was going to look like for the pandemic. It certainly helped that this was a very intimate, contained story. But yeah, you know, especially as we were in post-production, we were, of course, watching as how things took shape, you know, whether the pandemic was, unfortunately, by the end of the summer, it was getting way worse. And so it's obviously shocking that even a year and a half later, we're still, you know, very much dealing with the consequences of the pandemic. So the movie, unfortunately, is still relevant.
Yeah. Did was this, now obviously it couldn't be completely autobiographical at all, but was there anything that spurred on this idea of being trapped together, like besides the pandemic? Was one of you ever trapped with a breakup?
Well, you know, there was certainly an amalgamation of, well, I think between, you know, both of us, you know, we've been just talking also with Ben and Allie, like we'd all, you know, we've all lived with a significant other before. And I think it was sort of taking that, the this sort of lockdown concept as it was, and just sort of, it didn't take much to sort of imagine what that would do to a relationship, even if nobody was breaking up. I mean, that was part of the impetus for this too, is like, you know, talking to our friends and family, you know, via Zoom, as we were all like, you know, connecting kind of in this new way virtually. It just kept coming up, and not even necessarily with romantic relationships, but just cohabitation was really the thing we found interesting. And it's like, it's one thing to have the stresses of living with someone, however close or distant you are. And then it's another thing when like the world is saying you can't leave.
Yeah.
And so we kind of wanted to take that and sort of focus in on that. And then of course, because, you know, the way we sort of wrote and developed this concept, we relied on pretty much everyone involved to add not what just they were feeling like in the actual current moment of their own lives, but just trying to create something as authentic and that felt as like current as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also like I, for what it's worth, the movie is very much a work of fiction, but Ben may have shared that. I mean, he was experiencing a very similar situation. He had broken up with his girlfriend at the beginning of the pandemic. And so the characters you see on screen are very, very much fictional, but that definitely, you know, informed his performance, and it was a source of inspiration. So
I felt I could relate to this a bit. From like 12 years ago, I was getting divorced and we had to live together for like a month just to try to save money to move it. And that, so I think people can definitely relate to that discomfort. And even the desire to needle each other a little bit while the other's trying to talk on the phone to someone, you know, you're trying to move on and you can't. I felt that was very relatable. And certainly I know at least one couple that was breaking up during this time, and it could have been about them. A couple comedians I know in LA. I think it's great to have a humorous look at what's going on, because it's so much that's come out that I've seen has been like more like horror type of stuff. So it's nice to see something like, oh, can I laugh at this a little bit if it's not too soon?
Yeah, I think the situation is scary and dire, but people are always funny. And that's what really we try to focus in on.
Are you both from a comedy background, or?
I mean, we're not stand-up comics or anything like that, but both of us, I think, we both love making comedy films. And I think a lot of our favorite touchstones, a lot of the things we were most inspired by, certainly for this project, and for really anything else, like we definitely love comedy. And so.
Yeah. And a lot of the cast, we'd all formerly worked together, you know, making a lot of YouTube and Facebook and sort of short form content. And, you know, a good chunk of that as well, particularly actually with the unit essentially that you see in this film with Ben and Ally as well, countless comedic videos of the two of them arguing till the end of time.
It's basically like borderline sketch comedy. Nice. Stuff.
Yeah. Who was the worst to live with?
You mean like while we were shooting?
Yeah. Cause you all lived together. Who was the worst? Who,
That's a good question.
Did almost anyone get kicked out? Did you almost stop production to go like, you know what?
You know, we were very lucky that we didn't really have any drama that I can remember. I mean, maybe I'm saying that and I probably was the person who was the worst. No one told me.
If you don't know who the worst one was, it was you. I think a rule.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I think that was also part of the advantage of working with people that you know, that you're friends with, that you already have sort of a good footing and understanding of how we all work together. And so we didn't, you know, there wasn't any process of all kind of, you know, us like breaking the ice and being like, oh, are we also going to like get along? Cause like we do that. And we were all, you know, we were all friends. We were all basically kind of involved. Myself, Henry, we're roommates, and Claudia, the producer, I mean, she was part of our bubble as well. And so like, you know,
it was pretty low risk in that respect. Yeah. I think like, we all kind of.
So you're still in the bubble. You're still in the.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Clyde and I are also dating. So it's like, you know, it's intimate.
Some would say incestuous. Awesome. I don't know.
I'm not here to judge. So here on Black and a Half, I'm gonna have talked about this film already prior to them getting on. Then we do this interview. But we have my audience likes to get to know a little bit about the artist, right? So we have 7 questions that we ask everybody the first time they come on. It's the Black and a Half world famous 7 questions. Okay. Wow. So we'll ping pong these between the two of you. So, number 1, what are you most nerdy about? What are you most nerdy about? I don't know.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Henry, let's start with you.
Oh, okay. I'm a sleep nerd. I'm obsessed with sleep and the science of sleep.
Oh, you like to sleep a lot?
I used to have bad insomnia, and so I started reading countless books about science of sleep, and now I am extremely type A about going to bed at the same time every day. It's definitely been a problem in my relationship. That's my favorite thing to nerd out about.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah. Mine is a recent rediscovery of a nerddom I used to have, but actually coincidentally, of course, over the pandemic, I listened to Stephen Fry has this Greek mythology series. It starts with Mythos, Heroes, and then Troy. And I fully plunge back into all things Greek mythology, ancient myths and stories. And so that's the current, I guess, phase of nerddom that I am either a victim of or, but I love it. I mean, they're literally timeless.
It's a cool thing to be a nerd.
All right. Number 2, what's something that you love to eat?
Well, we could probably answer for each other. Sharing the kitchen.
My trash bin right over there. I eat an insane amount. Who are you going to answer for?
we're kind of both also similar palates. We're kind of boring, healthy-ish Trader Joe's boys. But I mean, I'm a. It's kind of boring, but I'm a fan of just a good salmon and vegetables. You know, a nice baked salmon. Get some lemon on that.
Have you had Copper River salmon?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's a Washington State delicacy. Mm. You'll need to come up during and shoot a film.
Yeah.
During Copper River salmon season.
Oh, cool.
Okay. I'm down.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Henry, how about you?
I eat an insane amount of macro bars, which are a kind of fibrous oatmeal-y kind of nutritional bar that I just eat because I'm busy and I don't have time to make proper food, and my trash bin is just
full of
macro bar wrappers. I try to tell myself that they're healthy, but it's mostly chocolate.
There was a sad day when I realized how close a Snickers bar was to my protein bar that I was eating. I was going, wait a second,
it's all a scam.
Just $2 more. Okay. All right, number 3, what's something that you love to drink?
Well, for me, I mean, coffee and probably a little bit too much. Speaking of Henry's nerddom with sleep studies, we've actually had many of conversation where actually probably during the editing of this film where I'm going for, my third cup at about 4 p.m. and he's looking at me like, come on, man. But it's a pure addiction. But I love coffee. Yeah.
Okay.
A nice Spindrift,
What?
You don't know Spindrift?
No.
It's kind of like a LaCroix, but it has real fruit juice in it.
Okay.
It's good. Yeah.
Well, not just that hint, that scent, that imaginary.
It's more than flavor. A hint. More of a splash.
Okay. I think I know which one you're talking about now. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's fancy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Number 4, what kind of music do you love?
Lots of music. I mean, I have a background. I grew up playing piano and actually some of the music in the film, I was happy enough to be able to like score, which is super fun. I mean, I don't know. I think we both have pretty diverse tastes, but I kind of am always bouncing around with like lately a lot of like, I guess, well, it's actually great that you asked this because Spotify just told me what my listening habits are. We got year end, and apparently I can't get enough of alternative hip hop, alternative. With a little bit of, I guess, contemporary jazz. But I guess right now I'm into a lot of alternative hip hop. I'm seeing this artist called JPEG Mafia actually tomorrow. And I'm so excited about it.
My Spotify top listens are all like those playlists that you put on when you're, it's like study music, which is really bad. It kind of says a lot about my lifestyle. But other than that, I just listen to kind of your garden variety, sort of like hipster 70s rock, like Fleetwood Mac and Talking Heads and stuff like that. Pretty boring.
Well, Henry also introduced me to this band called Deluxe, which we actually were able to get two of their songs in the film, and they're amazing. They're like, what would you describe as like, it's like indie techno, or not techno, disco.
Post-disco.
Yeah, I can't trust Spotify now because it says that I love Rafi. You know, and other children. Well, it's my kids take over my Spotify account and mess with it all. It's horrible.
Screws up the algorithm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, those daily suggestions are like, no, I'm not gonna listen to that. All right. Number five, what do you love to create?
Well, I think like when it comes to filmmaking, I definitely gravitate towards doing comedy. And I think in particular, like for me, it's always important to make something that feels like it has some heart to it and it has, people can relate to it on an emotional level. A nice sketch is all well and good, but like nothing really like gets me more excited than something where people actually like, I can, you know, actually get people and tug at the heartstrings. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I want to echo that. I mean, with regard to film, yeah, I think, I don't know. I always seek out things that I like to watch, and the things that I like to watch tend to be things that mix genres. You know, like if it's a drama, it's made better with splashes of comedy and vice versa. And so I think that hopefully is reflective in the content or the film or the stories that I create.
I agree. I love genre blenders, genre as both a writer and director myself. It's what I like to do. Number six, what's a game you love to play?
This is a game that I just played for the first time recently. I was visiting home and this was like a staple during like high school, but it's called Balderdash.
Yeah.
It's like,
okay. I know Balderdash. Yeah.
Amazing. It's definitely a little bit, there's a lot more organization and sort of focus required than like a standard apples to apples like adult party game, but I love it. It's, speaking of creativity, it's so fun to just play around and be an idiot or something like that. Balderdash.
Huh? Yeah, I'll stick with the board game kind of. I Settlers of Catan.
Okay. You know,
who doesn't love that? Very addicting, a lot of late nights.
Yeah. Yeah, those games, they've ruined my life, I think. Just all day sessions of the video. Well, I wish video games that do the same thing as Settler of Catan, they are time suck. I always think of how many things I could have created in my life that took. Lately, Jurassic Park has been sucking my life away slowly. Settlers of Catan is great. I love that. Okay, last question. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
This is hard. You're asking two self-hating guys here. we love to minimize our
problems. I'm in recovery from that. I'm in recovery as of about a week ago.
Yeah, I'm in the denial stage. He's in recovery.
You know what? In the spirit of that, I'm going to give a very cheesy answer, which is that despite the fact that I have some workaholic tendencies, I think that I'm really angling for the, you know, family man compassionate started, youth softball league. I don't know, that kind of stuff. The professional stuff I've just like come to realize is not, it doesn't matter. I love being a filmmaker, but that's not the stuff that matters.
Are you, what, tell me the softball league. What, you're coaching it?
No. I just was using that as an example. I just mean somebody who's like engaged in the community, is giving back, is, lives a social life where they feel like they're, they feel connected to other people. And I think that I would, you know, obviously want to make some great films too, but that's, I think the family and friends stuff is much more important to me. So.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Steven?
Yeah. I mean, at the risk of oversimplifying this, but you know, I think it would be like being remembered as someone who is honest in all the meanings that invokes, whether it's, yeah, maybe with projects or art that I create, but also in my life and how I'm known, or with family and friends, as someone who sticks to speaking, I guess, truth and sort of, yeah, being
yeah, he's gonna die alone if he keeps this up.
Yeah, I mean, I could be lying right now, which like, how do you know that I'm honest? So we'll just have to wait 100 years.
Yeah.
Hey, well, wonderful. Thank you two for coming on the show. I appreciate you taking your Friday afternoon off here.
Our pleasure. It'll
be your big weekend, right? Because it's opening. End of Us opens this weekend. Select theaters.
Today, and then it'll be available online on video on demand on December 7th.
Yeah. So when people start listening to this, we're releasing it with your direct or your streaming release date. So yeah, go check that out anywhere you watch. You know, it's probably Amazon, but anywhere. It's Amazon. They're going to watch it on Amazon. We know that. They forget the passwords for everywhere else.
Apple TV.
Apple TV. You know, I do forget. Yeah. Apple TV.
You got your Xfinities. Spectrum.
Roku. Redbox.
Redbox. Love Redbox. Nice.
Okay. Yeah. Block and a half.
Join us. Impressive. Live long and prosper.